हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Okay, page 80, chapter 3, the birth of Lord Krishna. Particular. If we want to get the Supreme Personality of Godhead to become one of us in this material world, this requires great penance. But if we want to go back to God, Krishna, we need only understand Him and love Him. This is because the Lord does not agree easily to descend to earth. Vasudeva and Devaki had to endure rain, wind, strong sun, scorching heat, and severe cold, suffering all kinds sorts of inconveniences according to different seasons, practicing pranayama to control the air within the body through yoga and eating only air, and dry leaves fallen from the trees for 12,000 celestial years. Wow. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is described as Mahavaranya, the most munificent of charitable persons, because he gives Krishna so easily that one can attain Krishna simply by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. We should therefore take advantage of the benediction given by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And when, by chanting the Hare Krishna Mantra, we are cleansed of all dirty things, we shall be able to understand very easily that Krishna is the only object of love. Therefore, one need not undergo severe penances for many thousands of years. One need only learn how to love Krishna and always be engaged in His service. Then one can very easily go back home, back to Godhead.
No. So it means we shouldn't desire Krishna as our son.
It was explained before that it has a material element to it. So we want that relationship, him being born here and all those kinds of things like that. So another thing is that we follow the chanting process and develop that love for Krishna, and we may want that love in the form like, you know, Mother Jashoda in Vrindavan or Devaki in Dwarka. So then following the footsteps of those devotees through the chanting process, then one can come to that, that'll be much easier. But if we want them to be specifically our son here and take birth during this time, so then if you have an extra 12,000 celestial years on hand, then you can try it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it says he doesn't very easily come, because he already has his parents, so he doesn't need... Yeah. Adhyaya Prakashita. As described in this chapter, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, Hari, in his original form, appeared as Vishnu so that his father and mother could understand that their son was the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because they were afraid of Kamsa. When the Lord appeared as an ordinary child, they took him to Gokul, the home of Nanda Maharaj. Mother Devaki, being fully transcendental, Satchidananda, does not belong to this material world. Thus, the Supreme Personality of Godhead appeared with four hands, as if born from her womb. Upon seeing the Lord in that Vishnu form, Vasudeva was struck with wonder, and in transcendental happiness, he and Devaki mentally gave 10,000 cows in charity to the Brahmanas. Vasudeva then offered prayers to the Lord, addressing him as the Supreme Person, Parabrahman, the Supersoul, who is beyond duality and who is internally and externally all-pervading. The Lord, the cause of all causes, is beyond material existence, although He is the creator of this material world. When He enters the world as Paramatma, He is all-pervading. Andanta Rasta Paramanu Chayanta Rastam, Brahma Samhita 5:35. Yet He is transcendentally situated. Right? He's all pervading, but he's transcendentally situated. That's the whole point. All these contradictions we see in Krishna. For the creation, maintenance, and annihilation of this material world, the Lord appears as the guna avatars Brahma, Vishnu, and Maheshwara. Thus, Vasudeva offer prayers full of meaning to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Devaki followed her husband by offering prayers describing the transcendental nature of the Lord. Fearing Kamsa and desiring that the Lord not be understood by atheistic and materialistic non-devotees, she prayed that the Lord withdraw his transcendental forearm form and appear like an ordinary child with two hands. The Lord reminded Vasudeva and Devaki of two other incarnations in which he had appeared as the sun. He had appeared as Prishnigarma and Vamanadeva, and now this was the third time. He was appearing as the son of Devaki to fulfill their desire. The Lord then decided to leave the residence of Vasudeva and Devaki. In the prison house of Kamsa, and at this very time, Yogamaya took birth as the daughter of Yashoda. By the arrangements of Yogamaya, Vasudeva was able to leave the prison house and save the child from the hands of Kamsa. When Vasudeva brought Krishna to the house of Nandamar, he saw that by Yogamaya's arrangement, Yashoda was, as well as everyone else, was deeply asleep. Thus he exchanged the babies, taking Yogamaya from Yashoda's lap and placing Krishna there instead. Then Vasudeva returned to his own place, having taken Yogamaya as his daughter. He placed Yogamaya on Devaki's bed and prepared to be a prisoner as before. In Gokula, Yashoda could not understand whether she had given birth to a male or female child. Shloka Anusharana. Summary verses 1 through 31. The transcendental appearance of Lord Krishna, verses 32 to 53, the eternal position of Vasudeva and Devaki, verses 1 to 31, the transcendental appearance of Lord Krishna. Sri Sukadeva Goswami said, "Thereafter, at the auspicious time for the appearance of the Lord, the entire universe was surcharged with all the qualities of goodness, beauty, and peace. The constellation Rohini appeared, as did stars like Ashvini. The sun, the moon, and the other stars and planets were very peaceful. All directions appeared extremely pleasing, and the beautiful stars twinkled in the cloudless sky. Decorated with towns, villages, mines, and pasturing grounds, the earth seemed all auspicious. The rivers flowed with clear water, and the lakes and vast reservoirs full of lilies and lotuses were extraordinarily beautiful. In the trees and green plants, full of flowers and leaves, pleasing to the eyes, birds like cuckoos and swarms of bees began chanting with sweet voices for the sake of the demigods. A pure breeze began to blow, pleasing the sense of touch and bearing the aroma of flowers. And when the brahmanas engaged in ritualistic ceremonies ignited their fires according to Vedic principles, the fires burned steadily, undisturbed by the breeze. Thus, when the birthless Lord Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, was about to appear, the saints and brahmanas, who had always been disturbed by demons like Kamsa and his men, felt peaceful within the core of their hearts, and kettle drums simultaneously vibrated from the upper planetary systems." Right? So when it says in the Pancharatra, when installing the deity, then after the installation, then by various symptoms you can tell if the Lord appeared. So basically, this is describing that kind of environment, where everything's very peaceful, everything's very nice, everyone's very satisfied, you know, everything's very auspicious. So then you can understand the Lord's presence. So we can see that's all happened here. That's why it works in Pancharatra, because that's how the Lord does it. Srila Prabhupada comments. On the occasion of Lord Krishna's birth, seasonal changes took place throughout the entire universe. Krishna was born during the month of September, yet it appeared like springtime. The atmosphere, however, was very cool, although not chilly. Right? So cool and not chilly. Chilly means it's uncomfortable. Cool means it's pleasant. Right? And the rivers and reservoirs appeared just as they would in Sarat, the fall. Right? So after that, because when in his appearance, then it's, how you say, still in Bhadra. So then it's like in fall. So the next season, because he was born, it would be rains. So then the next season would be fall. But at the same, the lotuses and everything were blooming like then, but the atmosphere was then like the spring. It had that nice, you know, that pleasantness and that enthusiasm, but at the same time, that coolness of the air. That. lotuses and lilies blossomed during the day, but although Krishna appeared at 12 o'clock midnight, the lilies and lotuses were in full bloom. Right? Because otherwise they only bloom in the day with the sun, but here they're blooming at night with the moon. Right? So that's... But although... Okay. And thus the wind blowing at that time was full of fragrance. Like, so blowing off of the lotuses and lilies, so it gets all that pollen and all that. Because of Kamsa's disturbances, the Vedic ritualistic ceremonies had almost stopped. The Brahmins and saintly persons could not execute the Vedic rituals with peaceful minds. But now the Brahmins were very pleased to perform their daily ritualistic ceremonies undisturbed. The business of the Asuras is to disturb the Suras, the devotees and Brahmanas. But at the time of Krishna's appearance, these devotees and Brahmanas were undisturbed. So one's trying to establish that principle of that those who are not Krishna conscious like to disturb those who are. That's just the standard. You know, it's fun. It's just like the kid who behaves himself in class, he's the one that's harassed by the kids that don't behave in class, right? The kids that don't... Asuras don't harass Asuras. Why not? Because they'll pull off his club and hit you with it. So therefore, that's no fun. Right? Does that make sense? It's fun to be a demon and no one bothers you for being a demon. Sri Sukadeva Goswami continued. The Kanaras and Gandharvas began to sing auspicious songs. The Siddhas and Charanas offered auspicious prayers. And the Vidyadharis, along with the Apsaras, began to dance in jubilation. Yeah. Yeah, because Vidyadharas, then they dance. Right? So here then the Vidyadharis, along with the Apsaras, then they began to dance. The demigods and great saintly persons showered flowers in a joyous mood, and clouds gathered in the sky and very mildly thundered, making sounds like those of the ocean's waves. Right, mildly, not, you know, scary, just pleasant. Then the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, who is situated in the core of everyone's heart, appeared from the heart of Devaki in the dense darkness of night, like the full moon rising on the eastern horizon. Because Devaki was as the same category as Krishna. 6-8, Srila Prabhupada comments. This verse indicates that Krishna and his entourage are of the same spiritual potency, Ananda Chinmaya Rasa. Krishna's father, his mother, his friends, the cowherd boys, and the cows are all expansions of Krishna, as will be explained in the Brahma Vimohana Lila. When Brahma took away Krishna's associates to test the supremacy of Lord Krishna, the Lord expanded himself again in the forms of the many cowherd boys and calves, all of whom, as Brahma saw, were Vishnu Murtis. Right, so, they're expanding, so he's expanding as them, so we'll say, well, he's them. And that aspect, yes, he's directly them. But the forms and of the activities and all the different things that they did, he still did the same as who he expanded as. But then everybody's very attracted to them, like they are to Krishna, right? So the parents of the cowherd boys, the cows, and the, you know, as you know, their affection for the calves, all that then expanded very nicely. Right? So we can see is what is the attractive feature of anyone is Krishna. So therefore, the associates of Krishna, because they're always absorbed in Krishna, that non-difference from Krishna, from that aspect, that's what creates that attractiveness. Mm-hmm. Right? Even within the material world, the attractiveness that we find within the interactions and dealings and all that is actually Krishna. Right? The dead matter doesn't do a whole lot, as we were discussing before. Pradhan doesn't do anything. Devaki is also an expansion of Krishna, and therefore this verse says, Devakyam Deva Rupinya Vishnu Sarva Guha Shayam. Huh. That's what this verse is for. Okay. The objection may be raised that since Lord Krishna appeared on the eighth day of the waning moon, there could be no rising of the full moon. In answer to this, it may be said that Lord Krishna appeared in the dynasty, which is in the hierarchy of the moon. Therefore, although the moon was incomplete on that night, because of the Lord's appearance in the dynasty, wherein the moon is himself the original person, the moon was in an overjoyous condition. So by the grace of Krishna, he could appear as a full moon. To welcome the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the waning moon became a full moon in jubilation. Right? So it's not just, oh, by his arrangement, then there was a full moon just because he likes full moons. No, it's a matter of that the moon being jubilant, that Krishna, who's from, is appeared in his dynasty, and so in all happiness he appeared full by Krishna's grace. Right? He was able to fully express his happiness. So it's not just a mystical thing that, okay, well, Krishna just made the moon full. It's not just arbitrary. It's that the relationship between the moon and Krishna. Then we see that these things are happening. Does that make sense? Yes. No, it's the moon due to, how you say, who cursed the moon? Daksha.
Daksha's daughters get married to moon.
Oh, okay, yeah. Same kind of thing. I was thinking the same, like Yayati. And he has 27 daughters, right? The moon. Or at least 27 of them.
Wives.
Wives. No, excuse me.
Daksha.
Daksha has 27 daughters. They're given to the moon as wives. Right? But, so then he moves through all of them. But the point is he was spending more time with Rohini. Right? That's of all the wives, she's the lead. And so all the other girls got upset. They complained to Daksha. He cursed them. I don't know why they always curse them to be impotent. Right? It seems to be just standard. People who are very proud of their potency then curse others to be impotent. And then after that anger subsides, then they understand now their daughters have to live with an impotent guy. So it's worse than it was before. Arrangement is made like that. So then he'll wax and wane. So the moon is there, but just he gets smaller and he gets bigger. So his potency is there. So then when it's full moon, then his full potency is there. Dark moon, then no potency. Like that. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. So because he was so happy, then he was able to appear with full potency. Like that. So it's the full moon. Yeah, in the eighth day of the waning moon, so he's going down so that he could appear as full. You could say it's okay, waxing moon, he just, was a little quicker. But no, it's in the waning where it's going down. But he appeared as full. In Srimad Bhagavatam 1.9.42, Bhishma, a great authority to be followed by the devotees, says that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is situated in the core of everyone's heart, just as the sun may be on everyone's head. Yet although the sun may be on the heads of millions and millions of people, this does not mean that the sun is variously situated. Right? Millions of people are out in the sun. Everyone thinks that the sun is sitting on their head. Right? So, but that doesn't mean that there's millions of suns. It's one sun. He's just variously situated. Right? Does that make sense? No, it means he's not variously situated. So, you understand? So the whole point comes down is that Paramatma is one person, but he's in everybody's heart. But it's still this one same person. It's not different Paramatmas. You know what I'm saying?
I saw this person.
You thought, hey, he's my Paramatma. Okay. In Srimad Bhagavatam 1.9.42, Bhishma, the great authority... Okay, we just did that. Okay.
Similarly,
because the Supreme Personality of Godhead has inconceivable potencies, he can be within everyone's heart and yet not be situated variously. So that's just, he can do that. Ekatvam anu pashyataha is Upanishad 7. The Lord is one, but he can appear in everyone's heart by his inconceivable potency. So that's the code. This is the Sanskrit. Thus, although the Lord was within the heart of Devaki, appeared as her child, according to the Vishnu Purana, therefore, as quoted in the Vaishnava Toshani, the Lord appeared like the sun, Anu Grahasya Shaya. The Brahma Samhita 335 confirms that the Lord is situated even within the atom, Andantarasta Paramanu Chayantarastam. He is situated in Mathura, in Vaikuntha, and in the core of the heart. Therefore, one should clearly understand that he could not live like an ordinary child in the heart or the womb of Devaki. He did not live. So it's not that he's going through this process like everybody else. It's that he's there within, he is situated in all these different situations, but he's the one person. And so, therefore, he is able to be there in the core of her heart. He's able to appear as her child. He's able to still remain within the core of her heart as the super. So all these different things at once. That's the whole meaning, is that everything is Krishna, so everything's connected to Krishna. Sri Sukadeva Goswami continued. Vasudeva then saw the newborn child, who had very wonderful lotus-like eyes, and who bore in his four hands the four weapons, Shankha, Chakra, Gada, and Padma. On his chest was the mark of Srivatsa, and on his neck was the brilliant Kastuba gem. Dressed in yellow, his body blackish like a dense cloud, his scattered hair fully grown, and his helmet and earrings sparkling uncommonly with the valuable gem of Vaidurya. The child, decorated with a brilliant belt, armlets, bangles, and other ornaments, appeared very wonderful. When Vasudeva saw his extraordinary son, his eyes were struck with wonder. In transcendental jubilation, he mentally collected 10,000 cows and distributed them amongst the brahmanas in a transcendental festival. And so he's actually, what do you call him? Collecting the cows. It's not that he's just giving the cows, but it's actually he's collecting. He's got things, so it's a big thing. 10,000 cows. So what arrangements have to be made to get all that? Then he did. Srila Prabhupada comments. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has analyzed the wonder of Vasudeva upon seeing his extraordinary child. Vasudeva was shivering with wonder to see a newborn child decorated so nicely with valuable garments and gems. He could immediately understand that the Supreme Personality of Godhead had appeared, not as an ordinary child, but as an original, fully decorated four-handed form. The first wonder was that the Lord was not afraid to appear within the prison house of Kamsa, where Vasudeva and Devaki were interned. Second, although the Lord, the Supreme Transcendence, is all-pervading, he had appeared from the womb of Devaki. The third point of wonder, therefore, was that a child could take birth in the womb so nicely decorated. Fourth, the Supreme Personality of Godhead was Vasudeva's worshipable deity, yet he had taken birth as a son. For all these reasons, Vasudeva was transcendentally jubilant, and he wanted to perform a festival, as Kshatriyas do to celebrate the birth of a child. But because of his imprisonment, he was unable to do it externally, and therefore he performed a festival within his mind. This was just as good. If one cannot externally serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one can serve the Lord within one's mind, since the activities of the mind are as good as those of the other senses. This is called the non-dual or absolute situation, Advaya Jnanam. Yeah, because Krishna is everything is Krishna, therefore performing these things even mentally, still it's within Krishna. Right? Because the mind being an element of Krishna, then you can do these things, it actually has the value, because it's the endeavor that's made. Whether you do it mentally or whether you actually do it, you still have to apply the focus. So that same focus is there. Does that make sense?
Yes. But we should do it like as though we're serving the deity. Like if we do it, we should do it to the deity.
Yes, yes. Yes.
No? Vasudeva was a Kshatriya, but the way he responded to Kamsa was very mild. Not like, you know, because he was a diplomat, it was a diplomatic way.
Yes, yes, because otherwise, because if we come down to, if you want to use danda, you know, or war, then you're on a chariot with no weapon, he's on a chariot with a weapon, and he's bigger than you, and he's angry, and you're just pleasantly absorbed. You know what I'm saying? So that won't work. So you can only deal in this way.
So anybody would deal in that way.
If you're smart, means you generally see it. It depends. Depends who made the movie. Like that. If the Brits made the movie, yes, he would be smart like that. You know. Or if you have another character, it could be the idiot. Then you know Hollywood might also do like that if he's that cool and that. But how often do you get a character like that? So generally, you'll yell and scream, and it'll only make it worse. You know, there's the idea because I yelled and screamed, now the other person will suddenly, you know, cringe or something, and then but it just gets worse.
Yeah. This limitation of the level of samadhi in the mental, because they're physically always engaged in service, and when they want to expand it even bigger, and then they're unable to physically, then they go to the mental. Like,
no, it's yes, you can, but the point is this now, as we discussed before, to come to the point where you could associate with the Lord, but you're not yet an associate, what state of meditation do you have to be on? Samadhi. Right? You have to be completely absorbed. Right? Then that will take you through an association, that will bring you to becoming an eternal associate. Right? So, now they're associating with the Lord. What level of meditation are they on? Right? So they're on samadhi. So, the point is if it had been a standard situation, then all that arrangement would be been made for the festival of his birth. You know, like Nanda Baba did. But since it's not, he just did the same thing mentally. So it's just the absorption is the same. It's just a matter of whether externally it manifested or not. Sri Sukadeva Goswami continued, O Maharaj Parikit, descendant of King Bharata, Vasudeva could understand that this child was the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayana. Having concluded this without a doubt, he became fearless. Bowing down with folded hands and concentrating his attention, he began to offer prayers to the child, who illuminated his birthplace by his natural influence. Right? So he became fearless, understanding the position of the Supreme Lord. Right? Now, Kamsa, understanding the position of the Supreme Lord, does he become fearless? He becomes fearful. Right? So fearless, that indicates then that devotion has to be there. Otherwise, why would he be fearless? Right? Because fearless comes from understanding our relationship with the Lord. Fearful means when we forget that relationship. Right? So we see the demons at the appearance of the Lord become fearful, the devotees become fearless. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur elaborates, fixing his mind on the Lord, Krita Dihi, Vasudeva thought of the Lord with reverence as God and affection as a son. Although he had fear for his tender child being harmed by Kamsa's weapons, out of parental love, that fear vanished when he realized that his son was the Supreme Lord. Gatapi Prabhavavit. Right, so he has the one because of the parental rasa, but because of the other, then that he has a different flavor. That's dwarka. They can have both of these flavors. They'll go back and forth. You know, one will be more prominent, then it'll move back into the other one. And so by how they deal, by how they interact, then it may move from one side to the other. Right? Yes.
So this is not like the mix, it's switches.
It just switches. It means one becomes more prominent. It's both. That's the thing is Vaikuntha in Goloka means that it has, either you're saying the addition of reverence and the sweetness, or the addition of sweetness to reverence, whichever way you want to look. So, because Goloka is all Krishna, and so he's seen as one personality. Right? It's not so Krishna in Vrindavan, Krishna in Mathura, Krishna in Dwarka, it's all seen as the same person. Right? While in Vaikuntha, then he's seen as God. So it's a different mood and all that. Is that what I'm saying? So then it's just a matter of they have the mix of both these moods. So when something comes up that would invoke reverence, they respond in reverence. And when there's something that will invoke sweetness, they respond with sweetness. But like in Braj, there's something to invoke reverence, they don't get reverential. They just continue in the sweetness. Mother Jashoda sees the universal form, and then she thinks maybe she's getting a little indigestion from breakfast, or she's getting sick, or you know something. It doesn't change. But if this happened in Dwarka, then they would remember. Yes, he is the Supreme Lord, but he's so kindly come as our, you know, family member. But he's the Supreme Lord. Is that something? Yeah.
I think there was a time when Nanda Baba was thinking that, oh, Krishna, maybe he's the Supreme Lord, when he's killing all these demons and then everybody.
But does it change his mood? No. He's just thinking, well, maybe he is, but it's just like, yeah. It doesn't change the flavor like that. That's the difference. In Dwarka, the flavor will change then over to that reverential aspect. And then other things, it'll come back to the sweetness. In some sense, yeah. Vasudev said, "My Lord, you are the Supreme Person beyond material existence, and you are the Super Soul. Your form can be perceived by transcendental knowledge, by which you can be understood as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I now understand your position perfectly." Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur elaborates.
Footnote.
Oh, yes. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur assigns verses 13. To Bhagavad Arkamrichi Mala, chapter 4, entitled The Factual Truth of Krishna, Bhagavad Surupa Tattvam, which is in the Sambandha section of the Thakur's book. Right, so the position of Krishna, what is his position? That's this, Bhagavad Surupa Tattvam. Vasudev considers, "Your intention in showing this form is as follows." Krishna says, "My father has fear for me because of Kamsa, so therefore I will make him fearless by showing him that I am God." Vasudeva understands. "Accordingly, I have become fearless on understanding that you are God." Right? So this is his mood, is that he has that thing because he's in the mood of his son, but then when because of Kamsa, so then he makes him fearless by showing that he's God. So then he can't bother God. Right? And so then Vasudeva understanding this, then everything adjusts. With this understanding, Vasudeva speaks this verse. "I can understand that you are the Supreme Person, Karana Dakshai Vishnu, who activates Prakriti by his glance. You are the soul of Brahman realization. You are the pervading super soul, Sarva Buddhi Drik. You are all these things because you are directly Swayam Bhagavan." Right? So you see in here, they mention all these different aspects of Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan in their prayers. Right? And in here is then super soul within the heart, means as Kiradaksha Vishnu, but also super soul of the material manifestation as Karana Daksha Vishnu. So, you know, you deal with both ends, everything is in the middle. Right? Vasudev continued, "My Lord, you are the same person who in the beginning created this material world by his personal external energy. After the creation of this world of three gunas, Sattva, Rajas, and Tamas, you appear to have entered it, although you factually have not." Srila Prabhupada comments. In the Vedic literature, we find the creation described in relation to Mahavishnu, as stated in the Brahma Samhita 5.35. Eko pasyau rachayitum jagaranda kautim yas chakshurasti jagaranda chaya irantaha andanta rasta paramanu chayanta rastam govinda maari purusham tamahang vajami. I worship the primeval Lord, Govinda, the original personality of Godhead, by his plenary expansion as Mahavishnu. He enters into material nature. Then he enters into every universe as Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, and he enters all the elements, including every atom of matter, as Kirudakshaya Vishnu. Such manifestations of atomic creation are innumerable. Oh, cosmic creation are innumerable. Because the atom is below. Both in the universes, he means, if it's another word and it doesn't make sense, because you could say atomic, it'll make sense. But if it's something else, or if it had been the other way, material creation, you know, it says. Doesn't make sense, it doesn't do that. Such manifestations of cosmic creation are innumerable, both in the universes and in the individual atoms. Govinda is partially exhibited as Antaryami, the Supersoul, who enters this material world, Andanta Rasta, and who is also within the atom. The Brahma Samhita 5.48 further says, Yasyaika nishvasita kalam atavalambya jivanti loma vilaja jagaranda nataha Vishnur mahansa ihayasya kalavisesho govindamari purusham tamahang vajami. This verse describes Mahavishnu as a plenary expansion of Krishna. Mahavishnu lies on the causal ocean, and when he exhales, millions of Brahmanandas, or universes, come from the pores of his body. Then, when Mahavishnu inhales, all these Brahmanandas disappear. Thus, the millions of Brahmanandas controlled by the Brahmas and other demigods come out and go into this material world through the breathing of Mahavishnu. The expression of this knowledge by Vasudeva indicates that Vasudeva knew how these events took place. Vasudeva was certainly a devotee of the Lord in full knowledge, and we must learn from devotees like him. Bhagavad Gita 4.34 therefore recommends Tadvidi pratipatena pariprashnena sevaya upadekshanti te jnanam jnaninas tatvadarshinaha. Just try to learn the truth by approaching a spiritual master. Inquire from him submissively and render service unto him. The self-realized soul can impart knowledge unto you because he has seen the truth. Vasudeva begot the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yet, because he was in full knowledge of how the Supreme Lord appears and disappears, he was therefore tattva-darshi, a seer of the truth, because he personally saw how the Supreme Absolute Truth appeared as his son. Vasudeva was not in ignorance, thinking that because the Supreme Godhead had appeared as his son, the Lord had become limited. The Lord is unlimitedly existing and all-pervading, inside and outside. Thus, there's no question of his appearance or disappearance. Right? So, Vasudeva, by seeing the Lord's appearance, understands that this is not a limitation. He's still unlimited. He's still himself as he is. Because he's unlimited doesn't mean he can't. He's not a person. Because he's a person doesn't mean he's not unlimited. So he's able to see all these things, and therefore then his realization. Vasudeva continued, right? So you can't disappear if you're all-pervading and always existing. Right, so appearance and disappearance don't actually happen. It's just a matter of he manifests so we can see or not. Does that make sense? So that's the position. We understand this, that he's always there even though he manifests, and he's still there even though he disappears, seemingly. Then we understand who he is. Vasudeva continued, the Mahat Tattva, the total material energy, is undivided. But because the material modes of nature, it appears to separate into earth, water, fire, air, and ether. Right? So, in other words, everything's material nature, so it's one thing. But because of the influence of the modes, it separates into all these different things, therefore it has that aspect. So, in other words, when it's pradhan with no other aspect manifest, then it's just called pradhan. As you add manifestations of the same thing, then it gives different names. So, because of the living entity, Jiva Bhuta, these separated energies combine to make the cosmic manifestation visible. But in fact, before the creation of the cosmos, the total energy is already present. Right, so it's just the desire of the jivas, then it manifests in such a variety of ways. Right? So that's why we're talking about the variously situated, not on the material platform. Right? He's one person, he's expanded in so many aspects, but he's still transcendental. The material world, the variety created here is created because of material consciousness. Right? And it's separate from the Lord, means their consciousness. The manifestations are, of course, the Lord. In the spiritual world, the consciousness is not separate from the Lord. Therefore, that variety doesn't create any difficulty. It only creates ananda. Right? So rasa is always appreciated there. While here, because of the separateness from Krishna, since Krishna is the taste, because we've separated from Krishna, therefore we don't get that full benefit. So we will just consider when there's a physical manifestation, then that's good, and when there's not, that's bad. But in the spiritual world, because everything's Krishna, whether he's, whether we can see him or not, the situation is still causing that remembrance of Krishna. Therefore, that aspect of rasa is in place. Then the taste of Krishna consciousness is there. You understand? That's the difference.
Maharaj, this variety aspect we understand due to Jiva's desire for variety. So how the other schools like Jaimini and Gautama, how do they justify the variety coming out?
Basically, most all will say the same.
They also accept due to Jiva's desire.
Means the point is why are things going on here? Because the Jiva wants them to. So, but it's controlled by the modes of nature because it doesn't exactly go the way you want it to. That's how you know is that you're someone else is in control. Right.
So they take jiva to pradhan only.
Yeah, that's all. That's as far as they want to get. Because the point is the material world's creating problem. To get rid of the material world, there's no problem. So you don't have to get rid of the elements. They don't cause the problem. It's that the...
We say that the varieties of hellish species of life found in material world is although created or triggered by the desire of the jivas, the Lord being the knower of everything, He is the one who's putting this these species in advance for them to...
Yes, because the mentality is means you have the modes of nature. And so then the variety that's enough for the living entity to feel that he's fully absorbed himself, and even then he's not necessarily always convinced, is 8,400,000 species. Right? So that's then what you're trying to establish. So the forms of these 8,400,000, all the situations they live in, you know, what particular experience they gain within the material world, that's already then set into place. Then the jiva, according to their desire, they move through it. You know, it's like a department store. You know, it's like already these things are in place, but it's based on what? What people are interested in. Does that make sense? So then different people go to different places and are looking at different things. Like that. Does that make sense? Okay, moving on. I thought we were moving on. See, it's like this. See, is okay, the etiquette is appreciated. But then when I look at somebody and say, do that, and then you guys continue with your etiquette amongst yourselves, you know, that's all right for you guys when you're on your own time. But when you're on everybody else's time, then we don't keep continuing with that. That's not good. See, it's good that one is comfortable in the environment to function in that way. You know, that's nice. But the point is we have to understand is that the class situation does have a particular formality and it does have a hierarchy of authority. So then if you speak, then you say, no, she speaks, and then she says, no, you speak, and I look at you, then you do. And if you don't speak, I look at her, and then she doesn't speak, then we're just going to move on. It's not that you guys keep going because you guys have your etiquette that you guys want to do and everybody else here gets the pleasure of watching. We have to be very careful. We can't get, in other words, we have to be comfortable, but we can't get familiar. That's the whole point of studentship, is being able to understand that there, it's a formal situation, but the dealings means, or it's how you say, no, it's an informal situation in the Vedic, but the dealings then still maintains the form. So you have to maintain the formality, because if I maintain the formality, then the whole process of questions and all that doesn't come up. So we create an environment which we can discuss and bring up that, but we can't take advantage then to take it beyond the necessity that's needed for the class environment. Does that make sense? So we have to understand, you know, just like we said before, because we're open to questions, that doesn't mean that then whatever question that somebody's had in their mind for the last 10 years, and then we said a word that is in connection with their interest, so now they have the right to discuss all these things. No, because there's a subject matter on the floor. If somehow or another that side point is of value for the you know, the greater understanding of the class, then we may discuss it. But it's not that we have to. There is no obligation. So does that make sense? Okay? Yes, because otherwise then we can't just keep on going here. You know, I told you before that one with, what do you call it? Chudanandi was on an Air India flight, you know, one of these big, I think it must have been a jumbo jet, something big. So it had a few bathrooms. And all of them were busy, but one wasn't. And there were two gentlemen standing on each side of the door. One was saying, "You go first." The other said, "No, no, no, you go first." And, "No, no, no, I insist, you go first." "No, no, no, please, you go first." So Chudanand is standing there. He wants to go to the bathroom. So then he just steps up, you know, and as he steps through the door, he says, "I'll go first." And then he walked inside. So. Yes. So all this etiquette's nice when there's nobody else involved. You know, if it's just the two of you, then you can go on all day, right? But because everybody else is here, then yes. Does that make sense? Okay. So, you want to ask a question?
Yes.
Then?
You mentioned that the consciousness is absorbed in Krishna in the spiritual world, and therefore the variety doesn't disturb the
yes. The variety. Because it said all the living entities are tasty. Everything is about taste.
So that means they are simultaneously realizing the three aspects of Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. But they give more preference to...
No, it's that they... It means you can say that if you're talking about Vaikuntha. But the point is that you only refer to that here. It's not that they don't, but you don't have to refer to Paramatma and Brahman in Vaikuntha. Because... That the only thing you need means the localized aspect of the Lord within the material creation, that's Paramatma. And the all-pervading aspect, which is the effulgence of the Lord, is Brahman. So the Lord is sitting there in with his Brahman effulgence. So there's no need to, you don't make that separate. It's only here that we'll make that separate because of the Lord's pastimes of creation. Right? So, in Vaikuntha, that won't be brought up. It's not that they have all three. It's that, because if you have Bhagavan, you already includes the other two. But the point is the Bhagavan platform is the point of interest, because that's where they're interacting. They're people, right? When they come here, because they have that Bhagavan understanding, that's why they can discuss Paramatma and Brahman without any difficulties, right? The residents of Vrindavan, they're there with Krishna, absorbed in Bhagavan. But when they come here and they preach, they can get into the finest detail you'll find anywhere of anybody on these other aspects. Right? Does that make sense?
Thank you.
Can you say that because Vasudev offered those prayers, that it means that he was in the mood of Dvarka?
Yes.
But when Krishna was just as a child, then they would switch to the mood of
Love. No, it's just Dvarka.
Always Dvarka.
Yeah, they're always Dvarka.
I meant to Aishwarya and Madhurya.
Yes, that's what they're doing. Because Dvarka means it has both. Basically, kind of equally. Mathura means that there's a little more sweetness than there will be in Dvarka. Right? And Braj means it's just sweetness.
And Vaikuntha would be just
Aishwarya. Just Aishwarya. Okay. Now your question. No? Okay. Okay. These separated energies combine to make the cosmic manifestation visible. But in fact, before the creation of the cosmos, the total energy is already present. Therefore, the total material energy never actually enters the creation. Similarly, although you are perceived by our senses because of your presence, you cannot be perceived by the senses, nor experienced by the mind or words. Avan manasa gochara. With our senses, we can perceive some things, but not everything. For example, we can use our eyes to see, but not to taste. Consequently, you are beyond perception by the senses. Although in touch with the modes of material nature, you are unaffected by them. You are the prime factor in everything, the all-pervading, undivided supersoul. For you, therefore, there is no external or internal. Right? It's just like you're cooking, you're using a spoon. Are you affected by the spoon? Are you controlled by the spoon? No. That's the whole point. But the vegetables, are they controlled by the spoon? Are they affected by the spoon? Yes. Yes. Okay. Depends on the pan. Yes. You are the prime factor in everything, the all-pervading, undivided supersoul. For you, therefore, there is no external or internal. You never enter the womb of Devaki. You never entered the womb of Devaki. Rather, you existed there already. Srila Prabhupada comments. Because he's already there. He's already within the heart. He's already everywhere. So it's not that he entered into and then, you know, he has to grow and do all the whole thing. No, he's already there. So then he enters as is his pleasure. He manifest as is his pleasure, right? So according to the meditation on Vasudeva, that's the kind of worship he has of Krishna in a parental rasa. That's how he manifests. Right? Mother Jashoda is a different mood, so therefore he is manifest differently.
Do you mean the forearm form?
Yeah, forearm form, but also just means the whole attitude, how he'll deal and everything, how he'll dress, his duties, what will be the basis of interaction. Like that. You know, it's just like, let's say, let's say you have a really good friend, okay? You know, close, you've been close like that. Then for some time you don't see them, right? Let's say before they were really nice, but they were a total klutz, okay? Then after a few years you meet them, and there's all these fabulous arrangements, they're on top of everything and that, and you can understand it's them. Then as a comment, in friendship, you may say, who is this person? Right? So that's the whole thing, is that the whole mood and all the things that go along and support that mood, that's what makes the person. That's why I will say Krishna in Dwarka is different from Krishna in Vrindavan. But he's the same person. He identifies as one person. So it's not that it's a different Krishna and they don't know, and then, you know, one day you have them all together and all that. You know, it's not like, you know, Calvin and his time machine, and then they're all there. You know, and then there's Krishna from Dwarka and Krishna from Vrindavan and Krishna from Mathura, and say, hey, who are you? And this and that, and there's a whole scene going on and that. And then, you know, something will happen and Mother Yogamaya will come along and then it'll all go away and then, you know, it's like this. So you don't have that kind of stuff like that. You know what I'm saying? You know, intellectuals with nothing better to do than a pencil, they do that stuff. But otherwise, no, you don't. Does that make sense? Yeah.
I heard some intellectuals speak once. I heard some intellectuals speak like...
Yeah. No, they'll always... Because they have nothing better to do. It's just they have to, you know, parallel time things and this and that and all that. And, you know, yeah. So, like that. And that's without any influence. You have something to influence and you get through the looking glass, right? Like that, yeah. Or fantasia, like that. So, it's just a matter of... They don't have anything to compare it to, so it's just, what could you do with this? But that's not the thing. Just like, let's say, we're talking about there's nothing new in the universe. You can't think of anything new. Right? Everything's according to our experience. Right? So, someone understanding the Vedanta principle, well then, yes, everything that I'm going to see, appreciate, combine within my mind in a speculative fashion, it's actually based on elements that are not created by me that already exist and already have their identity and methods, right? The names, the forms, actions, that's already there. So therefore, then what does that do? That makes you feel smaller. That makes you feel more humble. That makes you, okay, so what is my position? What should I be doing? Right? Now another mentality will come up. What do you mean? I can think of this. So, you know, is, you know, you have to see how you say, you know, how you say, one-eyed, one-horned, flying purple people eater, right? So now, you know, like this. But the point is, you know, you have one eyes, you have eyes, and there's one eye. Because there's two eyes, it's got to be, there's one eye already. You know what I'm saying? Things are flying, things are purple. You know, things eat people. You know what I'm saying? So we just put that all together and say, no, but I can think about, but you're thinking of things that are already existing. You didn't create anything new. You may put it together in some weird way, but it's not new. So it's due to attachment and this sense of no. So therefore, yes, I can do, I can think of new things. I can look at it in a different way. That's the academic field, is that they're looking at it from a new angle that's never been looked at before. But it's the same stuff. You know what I'm saying?
Quantum physics.
Yeah. So it's just all these things, they just come up with all these things that it's new, but it's not. It's the same old thing. Does that make sense? So that's why then when we look at all these things, there's no change in it. So Krishna is one person. And in Goloka, he identifies as one person. He may be, you know, moving through, he'd be one simultaneously present in all these pastimes at once, but at the same time, then there's a chronology in the material when the manifestation within the Mahatattva, where he goes through. So he's in Dwarka, then he goes to Mathura, then he goes to Vrindavan, then he goes back to Mathura, then he goes to Dwarka. So there'll be this chronological thing that is there because it makes everybody feel happy about it. And that's the kind of thing that they'll refer to in the spiritual world. Because they'll refer in Dwarka that he grew up in Vrindavan, even though he's been in both places eternally. But time factor, they'll refer to as here, but there it's only supporting the rasa. It's not controlling. Here we're controlled by it. There it only supports. Right? So the intellectual sense, they can't, as is pointed out here, through their senses perceive the Lord. Therefore, they just speculate on the Lord and about who he is and what that, and, you know, what if this happened, and, you know. So does that make sense? You know, so that's the difficulty. So that's why it's a waste of time. We could say they're so smart, but what they're coming up with, the combinations, are just more material. You say, no, but they come up with so many things that improve society and keep it material. They've not become any less material by all their so-called advancement. They're still just as material, in fact, if not more material, more in ignorance. So the only thing you've done is now you have complicated ignorance instead of simple ignorance. You know, is it going to rain? You know, will we be able to plant? Will it grow nicely? Will we be able to harvest? Will there be a good harvest? Will we get a good price in the market? That's it. Now it's like so complicated you can't even tell from moment to moment what's happening. You know what I'm saying? So, like that. Does that make sense? Yes, so he's trying therefore to remove this aspect.
Question about the Krishna is right in the heart of everyone, and then what's the difference? He's appearing and disappearing, he's already there. But it says that when he was transferred to the mind of Devaki, she looked very beautiful, very brilliant. So is there a difference between Krishna being as Paramatma in the heart of everyone and Krishna being as Bhagavan in the heart of everyone?
Yes, it's the same person. It's just the matter of Bhagavan means then there's a consideration of his relationships. Paramatma is just, he's just functioning in his position as God. Because it's like, what's the relationship with Paramatma? Right? He's God, we're the Jivas, he controls material energy. Like that. But the point is he's coming there at, you know, to interact with them. So interaction, that's going to be Bhagavan. You know, just like with Dhruva Maharaj, he's in his heart, then he disappears, manifests outside his Bhagavan.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premanandi ki.